Blog Talk Radio.
Let's just prepare our hearts to worship the Lord, because He is worthy of praise, honor, and glory. That we can come before Him and lay down our lives before Him and just lift up our hearts and thank Him. Glory to Your name, Lord God. You alone are worthy. You are King and Lord of all.
We worship You this day.
heart is full of admiration for you, my Lord, my God and King. Your excellence, my inspiration, your words of grace have made my spirit sing. You love what's right and hate all evil. Therefore, your God sets you on high and on your head pours oil of gladness, while fragrance fills your royal palace.
Oh, God, glory. Oh. reflections. Tonight we're still kind of gleaning over and looking at prayer and vigilance. I wanted to go back to that because just in terms of looking at so many things that are happening, and we can't slack with regards to prayer. So we have to be vigilant, and in terms of being steadfast and unmovable in our prayer and vigilance to keep watch unto prayer. David Brennan was pursued by unearthly adversaries who were resolved to rob him of his goods. He knew he must never quit his armor, but lie down to rest with his things intact. The description of the Christian soldier given by Paul in the sixth chapter of the Epistle of the Ephesians is compact and comprehensive. He is depicted as being ever in the conflict, which has many fluctuating seasons. Seasons of prosperity and adversity, light and darkness, victory and defeat. He is to pray at all seasons and with all prayer. This is to be added to the armor in which he is to fare forth to battle. At all times, he is to have the full armor of prayer. The Christian soldier, if he fight to win, must pray much. By this means only is he enabled to defeat this enemy, the devil, together with the evil one's manifold emissaries. Praying always with all prayer is the divine direction given him. This covers all seasons and embraces all manner of praying. Christian soldiers fighting the good fight of faith have access to a place of retreat to which they continually repair for prayer. Praying always with all prayer is a clear statement of the imperative need of praying much and of many kinds of praying by him who fighting the good fight of faith, which would win out in the end over all his foes. The Revised Version puts it this way: with all prayer and supplication, pray at all seasons in the Spirit, and watching thereunto in all perseverance with supplication for all saints. And I think we have to really get that clear, that it's not just to pray for us four and no more, just to pray for those who are in our circle. But the duty, the call, is to pray for all people. It's an interesting thing when we just pray for us four and no more. We leave out so many people. We leave out so many people. And if we are to pray for all people, for all of the saints, that means that we must be diligent to make sure that everything that pertains to a brother or sister, that we are diligent praying for them, praying that if they're facing a trial or temptation, that God would give them the grace to come through. So that's praying for all of the saints, not just some of them, but for all of them. And as we pray for our brothers and our sisters, we begin to see and hear of the victories that our Lord and Savior is giving to them. And it becomes powerful that God is moving by his Spirit for others because we prayed. It becomes something to see that possibly you're on one side of the world and the people you're praying for on the other side of the world. But as God is bringing them to your remembrance and you're being diligent to pray for them, you begin to hear the reports of how God delivered them from the attack of the enemy. You begin to hear how God has been just faithful to arrows of the wicked one from penetrating and causing havoc in terms of what he wanted to cause. But because you were on the literal over other side of the world, faithfully praying as God led you to pray, you began to hear the many, many victories that God is giving to you and to them. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is absolutely powerful. And as you begin to pray and seek God's face, and as you begin to lay out the prayer requests for the saints, you begin to see so many miracles happening. I'm telling you, you begin to see the miracles of God. You begin to see the things that you know only prayer could have wrought. There's no other answer. There's absolutely no other answer than prayer did this. Let's get back to this. Christian soldiers who are fighting the good fight of faith have access to a place of retreat to which they continually repair for prayer. And we look at this again, and I want to reiterate this. Praying always with all prayer is a clear statement of the imperative need of praying much and of many kinds of praying. By him who, fighting the good fight of faith, would win out in the end over all his foes. It becomes a miracle of God. The Revised Version puts it this way: with all prayer and a supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and on behalf that utterance may be given unto me in opening my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel for which I am in bonds. It cannot be stated too frequently that the life of a Christian is a warfare, an intense conflict, a lifelong contest. It is a battle, moreover, waged against invisible foes, who are ever alert and ever seeking to entrap, deceive, and ruin the souls of men. The life to which Holy Scripture calls men is no picnic or holiday junketing. It is no pastime, no pleasure jaunt. It entails effort, wrestling, struggling. It demands the putting forth of the full energy of the Spirit in order to frustrate the foe and to come off at the last more than a conqueror. It is no promised path. It is no bed of roses, no rose-scented path. From start to finish, it is war, and unless we see it as it is, we will continually keep our head in the sand. We will continually say and call it something else other than what it is, warfare. We will continue to ignore it. But for those whose eyes are open, for those whose hearts are open and know that it is war, battle on behalf of those who are yet blind. From the hour in which he first draws a sword to that in which he doffs his harness, the Christian warrior is compelled to endure hardness as a good soldier. What a misconception many people have of the Christian life. We see that how little the average church member appears to know of the character of the conflict. And it even becomes more desperate when we see so many pray the prayers of bless me, bless me, bless me, But they don't realize that when the struggle comes and they have to stand and their feet are in the fire and they're suffering much and they're going through, that it's part of the process, that God is taking them through the flood and he's taking them through the stages. And it's all a part of what we've been called to. We see that if he engaged to serve God faithfully and to succeed in getting to heaven and receive the crown of life, he seems scarcely to realize that the world, the flesh, and the devil will oppose his onward march and will defeat him utterly unless he give himself to constant vigilance and unceasing prayer. It's not a joke. It's just like if a brother or sister is a soldier, full-time soldier, and he's in Afghanistan, he's in Pakistan, or he's in Egypt, or he's in the war-torn areas. He must be diligent if he is to win the victory over his foe. The same is for the Christian soldier. He must be vigilant. He must daily put on the full armor of God that he can stand against the wiles of the enemy. And because so many people think that the enemy is someone, a figure that's not real, and they're constantly going through defeat after defeat until they realize that this is a warfare. He marched and will defeat him utterly unless he gives himself to constant vigilance and unceasing prayer. We see that the Christian soldier wrestles not against flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in high places. Or as the scriptural margin reads, wicked spirits in high places. What a fearful array of forces are set against him who would make his way through the wilderness of this world to the portals of the celestial city. It is no surprise, therefore, to find Paul, who understood the character of the Christian life so well and who was so thoroughly informed as to the malignity and number of the foes which the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ must encounter, carefully and plainly urging him to put on the whole armor of God and to pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Wise with great wisdom would the present generation be if all professors of our faith could be induced to realize this all-important and vital truth, just so absolutely indispensable to a successful Christian life. It is just at this point in much present-day Christian profession that one may find its greatest defeat. There is little for nothing of the soldier element in it, the discipline, self-denial, spirit of hardship, determination, so prominent in and belonging to the military life, are one and all largely wanting. Yet the Christian life is warfare all of the way. How comprehensive, pointed, and striking are all Paul's directions to Christian soldiers, who is bent on thawing the devil and saving his soul alive. First of all, he must possess a clear idea of the character of the life on which he has entered. Then he must know something of his foes, the adversaries of his immortal soul, their strength, their skill, their malignity. Knowing, therefore, something of the character of the enemy and realizing the need of preparation to overcome them, he is prepared to hear the apostle's decisive conclusion. We will take a break and we will be right back. We're ending our live broadcast and we will be right back to complete it.
worthy of the highest praise. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Worthy is the Lamb of God. Worthy. Of God to
as we continue to reflect on persevering in prayer, we stopped off where we were sharing that Paul re-emphasized over and over to the brethren to put on the whole armor of God. And then he continues with urging them to praying always with all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And we see that prayer and more prayer adds to the fighting qualities and the more certain victories of God's good fighting men. The power of prayer is most forceful on the battlefield amid the din and strife of the conflict. Paul was preeminently a soldier of the cross. For him, life was no flowery bed of ease. He was no dress parade holiday soldier whose only business was to don a uniform on set occasions. His life was a life of intense conflict, the facing of many adversaries, the exercise of unsleeping vigilance and constant effort, and at its close, in sight of the end, we hear him chanting his final song of victory. I have fought a good fight. And reading between the lines, we see that he is more than a conqueror. In this epistle to the Romans, Paul indicates the nature of his soldier life, giving us some views of the kind of praying needed for much of our career. He writes this. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I might be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea." Paul had foes in Judea, foes who beset opposed him in the form of unbelieving men, and this added to the other weighty reasons. It led him to urge Roman Christians to strive with him in prayer. That word strive indicated wrestling, the putting forth of a great effort. This is the kind of effort, and this is the sort of spirit which must possess the modern Christian soldier. Here is a great soldier, a captain, general in a great struggle, faced by malignant forces who seek his ruin. His force is well nigh spent. What reinforcements can he count on? What can give him and bring success to a warrior in such a pressing emergency? It's just like going into the ICU or going into the emergency room, and you need a backup. And you begin to tag your prayer partners and let them know that you're on the battlefield, that you're in an intense situation. It's the same thing. Paul is telling us to be vigilant and to pray for those. We do what's called the pray for pastors. And I pray to God that someday that it would reach around the world where we are so diligent and just on target when we pray for pastors, that we would recognize the warfare that they are in, that we would recognize that the intense battle that they go through, and that if we are faithful to just stand in the gap, just like Aaron, just like Hur, who was able to hold up the hands of Moses and stay until the victory was won. Imagine that if we gathered together and held up the arms and the hands of the men and the women of God, that they would be able to stay in the battle, and that their arms wouldn't go down and they wouldn't get weary, because men and women would be standing in rank holding up their hands. What a powerful vision. The Christian soldier is to pray at all seasons and under all circumstances. His praying must be arranged so as to cover his times of peace as well as his hours of active conflict. It must be available in his marching and in his fighting. Prayer must diffuse all effort, impregnate all ventures, decide all issues. The Christian soldier must be as intense in his praying as in his fighting. For his victories will depend very much on his praying than on his fighting. Fervent supplication must be added to ready resolve. Prayer and supplication must supplement the armor of God. The Holy Spirit must aid the supplication with his own strenuous plea. And the soldier must pray in the Spirit. In this, as in other forms of warfare, eternal vigilance is the price of victory, and thus watchfulness and persistent perseverance must mark the very activity of the Christian soldier. We see that the soldier prayer must reflect its profound concern for the success and well-being of the whole army. And I do believe with all my heart, and the more we pray and the more we seek God's face, we see that we must pray for the whole army, not just the army where we're daily or Sunday by Sunday going to, but we must pray for the whole army. The battle is not altogether a personal matter. Victory cannot be achieved for self alone. We can't just pray for our bishop and not all the other bishops who are over the body of Christ. There is a sense in which the entire army of Christ is involved. The cause of God, his saints, their woes and trials, their duties and crosses, all should find a voice and a pleader in the Christian soldier when he prays or when she prays. He or she should dare not limit her or his praying to himself. Nothing dries up spiritual secretion so certainly and completely. Nothing poisons the fountain of spiritual life so effectively. Nothing acts in such deadly fashion as selfish praying. I find myself that when I pray more for others, I see God doing something for me. I see more and more as I get up to commune with God. I see that as I go throughout my day, he orders my steps, he directs my path, because I've already met with him in the morning, and he's just orchestrating my day. And my praying is not just for my family or just for my immediate family or my immediate brothers in Christ. But as I pray for those who are in Africa and Asia, as I pray for those who are in the remotest parts of the globe, I see God doing something in my family. I urge you, I challenge you to do that. We only have a moment and we won't be able to finish this, but the Christian soldier is compelled to constant duty. He must always be on his guard. He is faced by a foe who never sleeps, who is always alert and ever prepared to take advantage of the fortunes of war. We will continue this. Be vigilant and know that God is watching over you. You are a soldier of the cross. We will continue this next Friday. God bless you.